Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to Empowerment Coaching. We are a group of certified life coaches to empower you in every call. For detailed information, go on www.empoweredas1.org.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Empowered in Every Call. This is Sharon X, the Coach Parker. I am one of your co-hosts with my beautiful, wonderful, audacious co-host, Shohan Lee, and my sister. I love her, love her, love her. We are so excited that you have joined us again on our weekly live show, call-in show, with the purpose of providing a opportunity for our listeners to share their experiences with us, as well as for us to assist with them as we offer coaching, some coaching services. Many of you know from our Facebook pages that we are both certified life coaches, and our purpose is to change lives. And we want to do it in the spirit of oneness, unity, and because we recognize that we're all great. We're all great in our own right. And so we are excited to be in the air with you out here in cyberspace to be able to empower you. There is an empowerment in every call. If you ever have the opportunity to talk to coaches, we have a unique way of doing things. We are definitely advocates and supporters of therapy and psychiatry and things like that. However, we know that sometimes people don't always need that. They may not need such an intense help. And they need a lighter approach to their situation. And that's what life coaches and bridal coaches and yoga coaches and people like that, we come along as any good team player or manager of a team. We come to help you win the game and the game of life. Whatever part of life that you want to champion, we as coaches are here to do that and to assist you. And so we get a real kick out of celebrating and enjoying your journey, enjoying what is happening in your life. We're taking the journey with you. We're not taking it for you, but we're taking the journey with you. So it makes us a little bit unique in our approach to assisting people or groups of people. We do group coaching. We do individual coaching. And we all have areas that we are very specific in. Tend to try not to say I'm an expert or an authority in anything, because knowledge is evolution. It continues to evolve. So one thing I may know next month, it may evolve 10 times. So I like to say our specialty and what we focus in our passion. You know, we all have certain passions based on usually our transition. Based on whatever we've been through is usually our passion. So which really brings us into our discussion today. But before we do that, I want everyone to welcome to the mic, to the stage, my awesome friend Shohan Lee and my co-host.
Hi, everyone. Sharon, your voice is very different today. You have that inner peace and that that calmness in you. I have to acknowledge that. I must. Hello, everyone. I'm so excited about today's topic. I started with writing up about this from once we evolve from individual consciousness, get into unity consciousness. Not only we change in our own life, how we impact the workplace. And then Sharon made it even sound much better in the level of attraction. I love that word, attraction. You know, you just feel that emotion in there. What are you attracting? The topics we change to what are you attracting? And then the law of being yourself. So many people in a couple of years, we talking about the law of being. The whole society going a deep reflection, self-evaluation from the doing become the being. But what this being really is, it's confusing to us. I don't know about you, Sharon. I was confused.
Yeah.
What does it mean?
Quite
mean?
Confusing.
I mean, a couple of years ago. And then I started see my client or my yoga student coming. Yeah, no, I'm being. I'm not doing anything. I'm being, okay? Like, okay, I'm just sitting there doing nothing. That's being. when I ask them for a goal, I don't have a goal. I don't have a goal. I can't have a goal. Like, having a goal is wrong now. So what is this being?
Mm-hmm.
I really like sharing it out there. The law of being yourself. It's really clear, simple. This being is being yourself. And then
mm-hmm.
someone says, oh, I can't be myself. You know, I have an ego. Ego is wrong. No, this yourself, you are the totality. You are this divinity in you. You can't be wrong. By being yourself, it's the best thing you can do to yourself, to the society. So I'm really, really love that part. And second part is the ending in this description of our show today. You said, to be rich is to be spiritual. I love that. Because the first thing it came to my head when I saw that sentence, there's overwhelming deep appreciation. I just, in front of me, I saw all the sages, you know, all the teachers in front of us. What I mean before, in front of us, meaning the age, before we actually right now get into the new earth. You know, some of us, our audience who follow our shows, who've been reading a lot of book about this new spirituality, we're familiar with the word the new earth. Because before that, the whole energy globally had it's not that a supporting unity. You know, it's still like a black and white, this duality being supported in that energy. So all the sages, being spiritual teachers, had a very hard time. They endure hardship. Like, look at my mother Teresa. I mean, look at her life. She giving her whole life, but she living in a very hard life. I mean, physically, from the money, from the necessity. As a human being, it's really hard time they had. But now the time is changing. So being rich is to be spiritual. I don't just mean internally. I mean externally, same thing. So internally, you are rich. And in addition to that, externally, you have abundance. That's what I reflect in my head about that to be rich is to be spiritual. So I'm very excited, Sharon. Thank you for inviting
yes.
me on this.
Yes, yes. You know, it's because it really resonates with the question, what does success mean to you? That's what it puts me in the mind of. Because what does rich mean? You know, because it's not what we have, it's what have us. And learning that there is a law, everything is dictated or on a spinning wheel of a law, you know, and simply a law governs the being. That's what law does. It governs the being. It doesn't govern the doing. Even when you run a red light and the police happens to be there and they stop you, you didn't necessarily, you break the law of doing, we broke the law of being. And the reason why is because the being is being safe, because running a red light or a stop sign could cause harm to not only yourself, but to another human being. So when we look at the law of doing, we'll think of, oh, okay, I ran a stop sign and I got a ticket for that. But what happens is we'll run another one if we don't understand the being part of it. And the being is the law of being safe and understanding that. So when we look at being ourselves and the law of that, term is what are we attracting? What comes to us? Because what comes to us is what we actually put out of us. And it magnetizes and it brings it back to us. So it's really a receptacle. It's like a receptacle, and it's constantly refurbishing it and bringing it back around. And basically, we live these lives over and over and over and over again. It's really funny. When we start really getting into the cycle of life, we understand that we live so many lives over and over and over in a lifetime. We live so many lives. And so when we learn to get into that law
of being ourselves, because our law says, what is my law of being? What is my law of being? My law of being is being myself. Does myself agree by running a stop sign or stopping at a stop sign is going to create an atmosphere of safety? Because if I don't believe that, if my being is I'm going to be late for something, that's my law of being. My law of being is my being is being on time. But we break other laws on the way to that. I know it's kind of tricky when you look at it, because because what it does, it creates a oneness, what I'm talking about. Because there's no separate law of being. Your law of being is that law of being. But being myself means finding out within myself what is the being part of anything that I'm doing. What is the being part? Not the doing. I know what you tell me to do. You know, and one of my huge struggles when I'm working with other people is being clear about what are we doing. I mean, not the what, the why. Like, you can tell me, okay, what we're doing right now is we're going to clean this office. Okay, I know we're going to clean the office because the office looks clean. That's the doing part of it. But what is the being part? The being is being, creating a clean, welcoming environment for someone else and for yourself. So the being part and the doing part, sometimes it's like the fine line between love and hate. I love you so much that I hate you. I hate you so much that I love you. You know, and when we get into the law of being yourself, means being okay with where you are, being okay with where you are not, and being able to embrace that and become a oneness with that, whatever it looks like. And then from that point, you'll begin to attract yourself, because the ultimate goal is to attract yourself. You know, they say opposites attract. Now, I kind of go with that, and I kind of don't go with that, because if you have people too opposite, then you're going to have resistance. You're going to have directional issues, because that person is going to see things, do things, and be things in a totally different way than they would do it, than you would. So then you're going to spend a whole lot of time, the two of you or the group of you, trying to convince the other person that the way that you're doing it is best for everybody or best for the two people involved. So though yin and yang, of course, opposite, male, female, negative, positive, make energy, sure, but they still have to have a conduit. They still have to have a synergy. They still have to have, they can't be different in totally, and I'm careful because it's really a fine line when you think about differences, because like you can marry someone who is from a totally different culture from you, but your being is love. So the being supersedes the doing, which I do things this way, you do this way, but our being is love. Our being is compassion. Our being is unity. So that means I receive your differences. When differences are unable to be received, then it causes a resistance. And where there's resistance, there's usually fire. So it's going to be a fire. You rub something long enough, it does get hot. If you rub your hands long enough, the friction of it, it starts getting very warm. And so when we discover that we're getting in a warm situation and things are getting hot, instead of just keep rubbing your hands, the thing is to pull your hands apart, let them cool off, so that they can reset or recalibrate back to the normal temperature that the hand is supposed to be in. So when we talk about being yourself and that being a law all by itself, that law attracts. It's law of attraction. And something you said that was so profound this morning when you said, what is goals and what does that mean? I was so confused, just like you. I was like, when they were talking about the law of being, I'm like, what the heck does that mean? I mean, how do you get there? Because there's so many layers that we have to take off to get to the being. Because if you start later in life looking for the being, that means usually there's a lot of doing that's on top of it. So removing all of that layer by layer by layer by layer, because your being will say, oh, I really would like a job that, and you give the specifics, you want the specifics for a job. But yet you keep getting these other type of jobs. It's because that doing is still on the outside. You know, I tell my clients or people that I'm working with that are looking for work, you know, don't go out just throwing out 100,000 resumes unless you already know without a shadow of a doubt what job you want. But frivolously doing it out there and you haven't really sat down and say, where do I want to be? It's not so even much as what do you want to do, but what do you want to be? And when you get there, then you say, what I want to do when I get there, but what do I want to be? And I ask them, I say, what do you want to be? What is it, you know, because until you figure out what you want to be, you're just going to be doing and you're going to keep on floundering around with doing and you won't be being. And you want to attract, so you're going to attract doing. So you're going to attract hard work, struggle, lack, all of that stuff because you haven't set in the universe what you want to be. I want to be productive. I want to be prosperous. I want to be a blessing. I want to be accountable. I want to be responsible. I want to be even with marriage. What do you want to be when you're in marriage? Not what you want to do. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to take care of them. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to work, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. But what are you going to be? Are you going to be kind? Are you going to be gentle? Are you going to be loving, understanding? What are you going to be? Because being is spiritual. Doing is natural. You do that in the natural. But when you're in being, you're being spiritual. So riches, being rich, is the doing. When you're doing it to get rich. But then being rich means that you have a plethora of things that you need. Your needs are taken care of. Rich means you have everything you need, not everything you want, but everything you need where you're satisfied, you're whole, you're one. That's when you are rich. Because you are spiritual, you understand that you have everything. Even in your lack, you still understand, I have everything that I need. And when I have everything I need, then the things that I want magnetize. The need magnetizes the want. Because I want to be healthy. I want to be safe. I want to be clean. Meaning, so that means that having a home, having food, being able to pay your bills, that's what you want to be. I want to be safe. I want to be clean. I want to be comfortable. I want to be satisfied. Not I want a house, I want a car, I want credit cards, I want this, I want a big bank account and all that kind of stuff. That's just doing. Because after you get all that, then what? And then what do you do after that? So it's always going to bring you right back to who are you being? Who are you being? When you figure out who you're being, you'll figure out what you're attracting. I used to hear people say it all the time. It was offensive. I didn't like it. And they used to tell me, you attract what you are. What? What do you mean? So if I get some loser dude in my life, then the truth of the matter is I'm attracting something in that loser person. There's something in me that's attracting failure. There's something in me that's attracting lack. There's something in me that's attracting not enough, good enough, those kind of things. But yet in my being, I know I deserve more. I deserve better. I know because my being is so buried under the doing that I only get a light of it or a glimpse of it every now and then, and I go back to default to doing. And when I go back to default to doing, then I start attracting the doing instead of attracting the being. If that makes, does that make sense to you?
Absolutely. Absolutely sense. Because I think you give a lot of good examples, and something very simple like using the cleaning office, the environment, giving us a simple example to bring clarification to the mind about the doing versus being. And what does being yourself mean? I think that's one big question we all learning, we all starting to experience it and sharing here. That's one. Second part about this attracting, I think this is really the benefit. What once you start follow the law of being, that's the great benefit coming to you is attracting. Attracting itself give you a sense of effortless. That's what we talk about so many sessions, this effortless manifestation. That's when you being, that's attracting start coming from. Also, I like to recall my experience in the very beginning when I saw this magnetize. I love that word because I love effortless in my whole life. I'm a lazy person. You know, I do shortcuts. So when I see magnetize, I think, okay, how could, once I'm being, what logically,
I see why we sisters. Okay, go ahead.
No wonder, right? How magnetize works. And then I figured out in my head, convinced myself, is that when we look at a human being as energy, from the energy essence, everything by energy, vibration, resonation. So the abundance and this, you know, talk about this, even the love, the peace, everything's already there. But how we attract all this, or repel, is based on our energy. Why? Because there's right resonation in there. So if I'm currently, my frequency is in the level of fear, then I'm gonna resonate to all the fear around me. Because it's in the same frequency. That's from a physical standpoint. Because I'm logical minded, I need to make it clear in my head. I can convince myself. So, okay. So by resonation, if I resonate at this moment fear, then of course the fear frequency around me, I'm going to resonate with it together. So if I'm in the frequency of peace, inner peace, then of course I'm going to resonate with inner peace. That's how I understanding about attraction. Oh, that's it. So everything, whenever I resonate, and then that's what I'm attracting. And that's get into my awareness, and that show up in my world. So if actually everything already there, it's just my level of awareness didn't see it. So for me to see it, the easy way as a human is my energy resonating with that energy, and then I feel it. Then, oh, that thing exists. So that's how I understanding about magnetizing, attracting. So that's back to our topic here. Once you start this being, you know, doing whatever, there's a spiritual component in it. So you awakened to your spiritual nature, knowing, oh, I don't have to learn to be spiritual. I was born as a spiritual being. So with that direct awareness, and then you evolve your consciousness to a higher level. So your energy is higher. That's why you resonate, you vibrate with higher level. So all the peace, inner peace, all the love, all the abundance, everything seems to you like coming to you. Actually, they're already there. It's just before your frequency now resonates with it. Now your frequency resonates with that. All of a sudden, they all show up in your world. Wow, you know. So you start seeing relationship change. You start seeing job change. in the beginning, those changing me look at the chaos. Because all of a sudden, the job you work there for a couple of years was okay. Now all of a sudden, becomes so intolerant. Make you feel you have to move because your energy no longer resonates there. So you change to a new job, and then you change to maybe move on to a new friend, and then everything else around you, you think is changing. But really, the truth is you become following your love, being yourself. So that's what I take about how this attracting part works. Another thing I like to share, are you still there? Hello? Are we losing you? I think we lost you. I'll continue.
No, I'm here.
Okay. Yeah, another part I think we bring into kind of new area today in this show, because we talk about individual a lot. What I feel that a lot of people like us go spend a lot of time in personal development. For a long time, to me, it's kind of isolation between me and my work. I say that because I feel like, okay, I can spiritually grow. I can learn so much about how to be a better person. But when I go to work, that's a different world. I need to be practical. So, and then I need to somehow put a mask to myself or even lower my frequency in order to be in that environment, to be practical. Now, that's no longer true, I found. Because the overall conscious level, collectively, are already raised up. There are, right now, workplaces that can really nurture our frequency, nurture this harmony, nurture synergy. I think it is happening. So you don't have to hide your spirituality. You don't have to hide your being, true self. You can be authentically and very comfortably and work in those environments. So that's, I think, a third part in this talk today, or maybe you can go even longer on a couple more weeks to really discuss how to bring your being into work. Because of time.
Wow, that's good. Yeah, that's a good, next week, absolutely.
Because right now, even, I mean, Sharon, to your work environment now, it's happening. To me, it's happening, right? Between you and me, that's 100%. It's not 50%. It's 100% happening already. But it happens so rapidly. Sometimes I even think about, is this real? Is this really?
Yeah.
And I want to say that, and here's the irony of that. It's happening for us because we put the work in. I want to add that because to have this type of existence in life and being able to coexist in different places, we had to go through a lot of trial and error. You know, like I said, I wouldn't say we're experts, but I'll say we're experts in our own life. I think we become life experts for ourselves. Because we become proficient in our own living. And so when you talk about us really transmuting and translating into the workplace, now that we've done this individual work and learned how to integrate that in the workplace and to be yourself everywhere you go, but still at the same time being environmental, being able to adapt to an environment where it's not going to create that friction we talked about earlier and that resistance, but it's going to create a synergistic way where it works and meshes together. But being all right with who you are and bringing your skill set, your professional skill set with your personal skill set, and making it work for the best. And like you said, you know, now we're experiencing it. We're experiencing the effortless manifestation. And again, I like to be honest with our listeners and with clients, let them know, don't get this twisted. It don't come as easy as it sounds. It's not effortless in that you don't have to put something in. Because you never can get anything out if you don't put something in. You got to put something in the pot. You got to invest something. And I think instead of so much put, I think we put more effort into effort, which is doing, versus investment into effort. Making effort an investment versus effort being an effort, it's an investment. So when you invest in your being and invest in who you are and invest in that, then you, in turn, you get the being from it. You get the freedom from it. And then, you know, you get the ability to, as I said, transmute, as Shohan has said, it into the workplace. Now you can come outside and you can work with others and be your best you and not be intimidated or afraid or and being okay with it. You know, does that make sense?
Exactly, exactly. I think what you, yeah, I like you put that clarity there. Effortless is not a, doing nothing. Effortless is you achieve, by definition, is you achieve with ease. So you don't feel it's too hard to go. That's I'm glad you bring that clarification.
Achieve
second,
with
to
ease.
Me,
I like that. Achieve with ease. That's awesome.
Achieve with ease. And then in order to do that, it's what? It's attracting. What is attracting? We just said attracting is raise your level of consciousness. So to me, really, I spent years putting effort to raise my level of consciousness. But I don't put too much effort in something I'm not good at. I don't want. I didn't put too much effort when I feel there's an obstacle there. I push myself through. I didn't. I stopped. But instead, I raise my level of consciousness. So then, on a higher level, I can attract to resonate with harmony, resonate with the cooperation instead of resonate with the competition. So that's, I think, back to that ending sentence we put in here, to be rich is to be spiritual. So you're putting effort to develop yourself, to reach your own potential. From that aspect, it's effortless. And then you
yes,
bring that to
authentic
to work.
Yes, yes. I love that. I love the way you put things. Yeah, yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I got to go back and listen to this myself. Shoot.
I think the whole point, I'm really excited, put it that way, I'm really excited about what is happening. I'm saying that because last December, I was invited to co-author a book called Transform Agents. Each one of the authors are business owners and are life coaches in that aspect. We're coaching other people to, you know, you use the word transmute, transform, really bring consciousness to business. So each one of us share a vision about how we see under unity consciousness workplace should be or look like. And when we talk about it in last December, it's like a dream. It's like, okay, we cannot like this thing happening that way, but still feel like far away. But now it's not. And all those 12 people, each individually, are actually, now I start to understand what the agent means. Each one already live what they're talking about. You walk the talk. So that kind of working environment is happening. That's the hope I want to bring in. I understand you said, Sharon, like it's not the one day thing. Everybody, all of a sudden, everything's so easy. No, that's not. But also, once the consciousness shifts up, in that moment, you have all this moment, all of a sudden you live in a different reality. I remember you had experience once with one coworker, right? One day you could be in conflict. Another day one could come back. So, you know, I did a reflection. I realized this. And in that moment, you two become like a heart connected. You're like, wow, yes. And understanding, all of a sudden, it just melt up all the other conflict. So that's what I mean. I think the company right now, especially some of the conscious leaders, those cultural creatives, the company starting become more open communication, more informed, more get everybody involved in the decision-making, and give everybody a voice to talk, and give everybody's value to respect each other, to support each other's individual motivation even in the company. But then we have a shared vision as a company, as a team. I just think it's beautiful.
You know, I like that term, shared vision. That's beautiful. You know, that brings on another connotation when it comes to, and it goes back to your vision of empowered as one, us being in the light of one. You know what I'm saying? It's like shared mm-hmm. vision is like, yes, you have a vision, I have a vision, but we all got vision.
Hello?
Yes, and I think that's just like a really, you know, conceptually, I was sharing with our team yesterday, we're developing a new team at our work, and what we were talking about was what we call a motivational moment, which means when we come into a business meeting, instead of us coming to the staff meeting, hit the agenda and start running, we start out with a motivational moment and we close with a motivational moment. So we get the staff in a mode of encouragement, building first, and then we go into business. And then we encapsulate it and close it with a motivational moment. And that way we will be able to put our production will be better because now, you know, we foster oneness. I was sharing with them when it comes to, when you say share a vision, there's a scripture in the Bible that talks about mutual submission. And it means that although you may be the person in, you know, say for instance, you have all these different leaders and then they're departmental and they're broken down. If I come into your department, it doesn't matter if, even if I'm the CEO, and this is my thinking, not necessarily my CEO, but I come in your department, you're director of finances. When I come in your office, I'm subject to you. I'm mutually submitting to you because you are the person that's in authority in that area. And so though I have the vetoing power, I still have a oneness with you because this is your area that you're working in. And so I submit to that. So I was sharing with the team, mutual submission means, okay, we all submit to one another, and we lead in our own right, whatever we're leading in. If I'm doing my HR stuff and business administration stuff, whatever, when you come in my area, then this is the area that I'm pretty much managing or, you know, maintaining. And so that means that I may know a little bit of ins and outs. So I may say, well, Shohan, you may, could you do A, B, X, Y, Z because I need this? Well, you can't say, oh, I'm the director of operations, so I'm not getting ready to move that because it breaks the synergy. So when we work together and we share in the vision, when we share in the whole picture, we understand that it takes a lot of small pieces because, no, I don't care how big your vision is. It's not going anywhere without people. It's not going to happen. So that means your vision includes people. So when we are talking about self-discovery, it has to be all-inclusive. It can't be exclusive. It can't be just about me. But it's got to be inclusive where it includes other people, other things, other ideas, ideologies. You know, they say the best leader is the person who knows how to surround them, know their weaknesses, and surround themselves around people who are strong. That's what they say strong leaders are. Because they understand that a person, you can't do everything. And you need oneness. Oneness is necessary. You know, and because we don't use that concept, that's where we find a lot of the ills and individuals, you know, causing harm to people and things like that. That's when we're not on one accord with ourselves. Because once you come into the light of who you are, it brings you into the light of who others are. There's no way you can shine a light in, if a light shines on me, and even if it's dark all around me, wherever I walk, if that light is following me, it's going to be lit up in that space. And depending on how broad that light is, it can eventually light up an entire room. if that makes sense.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I really think each one of us is have the light in us. It depends on ourselves to make a decision, do we want to light it up or not? Because human being, I think I shared this with you. I didn't invent this. Okay, I remember I read this from a yoga teacher. He and man are two root word in Latin. The man is a form. It's the earthbound, our, like, you use the word nature. It's like this human form. The hue, the root, is the pure color, which is the light. So each of one, even by that definition, by nature, we have light inside of us. We as a human, it's a form of light. It's just in an intense form. So that's why we could not see ourselves. When there's a dark, we can't see. It's like the light isn't there. But inside each one of us, there is a light. I think it's up to us to first awaken to that light, saying, yes, I do have one. Second, up to us, how bright we want it to be. You know, if you in a place you feel not safe, you want to hide yourself, that's fine. Just hide your light, right? But now we're talking about here, like a lot of people already go through a lot of self-development. Your light is already there, but you have a little bit of fear to show it up, like I had, to show up in workplace. I think, okay, if I go there, I may not be acceptable. I'm not be practical. So I hide my light. So I'm saying here that I don't need to hide it anymore. Go out there, bring your light to the workplace to create a synergy, to support each other. Because Sharon, you give a very good example and very practical that motivational moment you talk about. When the meeting, you motivate each other. To me, how you motivate another person, you need to touch the other person's emotional needs. That's it. You touch each individual's emotional need. That's what motivates them, because emotion is E plus motion. It's energy making you move. I also do that same thing. Every project I start, I ask everybody, what is your vision for this project? So everybody, then we make a shared vision first. Second, I ask, what do you want to get from this vision? So I really make sure I'm taking each individual's emotional need, their feeling fulfillment. I remember one lady told me, she said, oh, all I want to eat. Now, that's my, that's something I'm really good at. I really want to eat. So enough on that project, we let her organize all the eating-related activity. She's so motivated. So I think it's really, when you have this unity consciousness, especially as a leader, you are in there, bring your light. And with that vision, you can really motivate each individually. Use their motivation. We all come in and do things with different motivation. We don't have coming here at work has the same motivation. Somebody really needs to have the money. It doesn't care what you ask them to do, but they are happy because they really need that paycheck. But somebody are not. You know, if this person wants to eat, they want to come here, have some good food, you know, have a good party, to have that joy in the working place. So that each individual has different individual motivation. That's fine. But we use that motivation, create a synergy to support a common shared vision.
Wow. Well said, my sister. I love it. Yes.
Okay.
I'm glad it's recorded because I'm going back and listening to it. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you. Thank you to let my mouth open. You know, when I start talking, sometimes I really don't know what I'm talking about. So you need to excuse me. It's just some experience I had before.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you start talking about unity consciousness, you got to be, you know, you got to come into a situation with how does this benefit everybody. Now, initially, and you mentioned about personal development, when we're creating, you know, personal development, it is a what we call in our program self-centeredness, not self-centeredness, selfish program. We call it selfish program. And what that means is that I have to give me a little time. I need to focus on myself right now. Give me a minute, and I'll get back to you, you know, and self-care. You know, self-evaluating, self-development, self-empowerment. And then, you know, once but not becoming self-induced, meaning that it's me, 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 me. But in sometimes when you're coming from a background where, you know, all of your track is doing for others, sometimes you do have to be a little selfish, not self-centered, because self-centered means it's all about me and everything surrounding me. But selfish sometimes meaning, okay, I really love you and I really care about you and I really, but I have to, give me this moment. And if you don't give me this moment, I'm going to have to take it. You know?
I love that. Yeah, I love that you use the word moment. I mean, it's temporary. You really need to make it people, because a lot of times I think when we talk about selfish, you know, even when we talk about unity, we easy to think about that a personality, something less changeable. This person is selfish, okay? But
mm-hmm.
actually, we only had this moment of being selfish, which is not a bad moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, even unity, right? I'm not a 24/7 unity, because I have my moment of being selfish. You know, actually,
yes,
I want to share this, Sharon. Sorry, I interrupt you. Can I share this something?
Sure, you're fine. Go ahead. Of course.
Okay. This is how I worked after we learned energy leadership. The 7 levels, right? The level 1 is a selfish, because you isolated. You are only by yourself. You're lonely. You want to protect yourself. That's level 1. And the level 3 is a personal hero. You want to do everything perfectly better than anybody else, so you be the hero, being recognized. And the level 5 is unity, okay? So to my experience right now, I still have moments of being selfish. When I have those moments, what I really know is that I need to take in a good care of my body, because when I'm tired, I start to get that. All of a sudden, I have this selfish thought coming through. So when in those moments, I know what I need to do. It's really, really need to take a break, take a great care of myself. And this is the message I want to give to our audience. You know, when you feel selfish, don't think you're wrong, but think about this inner child, this body need to be taken care of. It's just a sense of that.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And I like the way you say, and you really brought out, it's temporary. It's not,
mm-hmm.
you know, just give me a moment. Allow me, you know, this time, which a lot of times when we're breaking cycles of helping others more than we're helping ourselves, it takes them a little bit to come to terms with, you know, this part of me and this piece of me is no longer accessible to you. And it takes time for people to adjust to that. And so, and the thing is, it's really up to them whether they adjust or not, you know.
I said, this part of me is not accessible. I love that one. I love that sentence
yeah.
you just made.
You know, there's, and that's the selfish part. There's a part that says that this part of me belongs to me. This is the part where I find my comfort, my peace. Like you said, the young lady said in your team, I want peace. You know, different people come to different teams for different reasons. However, all those reasons are valid because it all drew us to that point. So we all came to this point, that means we're going to take all of your reasons and we're going to use them together to create this awesome energy and synergy that's going to happen. And so we, in turn, learn how to accentuate ourselves in a way that it's good for everyone, that it's not just what you can get, but what I can give you. And sometimes we give more than we actually have, but we think we have more, but we really, and in essence, we really don't. We're depleted. So what we learn to do is keep a reservoir, keep a reserved amount of being ourselves over to the side. So in the event you got to pull that out and you got to use that, you got it. But if we give everything we got, we deplete it. Then we wake up and we have a need, and then the need isn't taken care of. So then we experience depression, oppression, you know, anxiety, different types of, and now it's going to physical and mental things start happening because of that. So now you've got an outward manifestation. You know, I like what you said. I want to just go back to it. You said that effortless is just, you said doing it with ease, or what was that again?
Achieve. That's from a dictionary. Achieved with ease. That's the definition of effortless.
That's our, we're going to give it to Shohan because she said it.
In a Chinese accent.
Right. Yeah, you know, which means that it doesn't eliminate the work part of it, the part that you got to do, but it just says that
it's a feeling word. It's really a feeling word.
It's a feeling word.
Yeah, I mean, think about. No, I mean, it's achieved with ease, right?
With ease, it's
a feeling. With ease is a feeling. Achieved with ease.
Yes. Oh, we might read all these words. Yes, achieve with ease. That's my, well, I tell you what, that's my motto. We're going to achieve with ease.
What we've been doing. I think we are really doing this motto on the show. And that's how the intuition comes from. Sometimes the clarity comes from.
Yes.
I really enjoyed discussing with you about this work environment today because you are in this new working environment. And you also doing this new thing. Like you used two examples, and very good. One is your meeting about the motivational moment. One you're using about the cleaning thing, organizing. It really gave me some ideas to really connect from the concept and then see something very concrete is happening. Another thing I also feel when you mentioned the other example, saying, you know, this is my, you are the director, even though I'm a secretary, but this is my working area. So you show respect to how I organize, to, you know, how I do things. This really makes me think about the old model in business we would like to control. You know, I'm the authority. I'm controlling everything. I think in this unity model, it's really about a coherent we're creating here. So we create a better structure and order to support this vision, to support each other's individually growing creative expression in the structure. So instead
Correct.
Of, you know, authority and control, now we talk about coherent in structure. I think from that, you know, also ownership. It's a shared ownership when we do this.
Yes.
It's open connection, transparent. It's open communication. You know, it used to be, you know, boss stay in their own office. When they talk, they close the door, right? Now we talk
yes.
about open the door. We open communication, share all the details, even share their personal emotions there
yes.
as leader.
Yes.
About transparency. Another thing is about, I think it's about the inspiration than persuasion. This we talked about before. You know, I persuade to do something. You know, I try to lure you into something so make you see a hope so you can work for me. No, I'm going to inspire you to, through the highest vision about you, to use your talent. I think there are many different areas we can touch base to share about
yeah.
how we can really bring this unity into a workplace.
Into the workplace. That's true. Mm-hmm. Wow, this has been a really, really exciting show. I think the thing that brings the excitement to our show right now is that we are actually recipients of our own teaching. And I believe that I heard a great, 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 great minister say that things happen in the unseen before they happen in the seen. Which means we had it in our spirit, we had it in our inner person, what we believe effort of manifestation should be. We knew that we didn't want the resistance anymore. We decided in our lives that we wanted a flow. And so the universe began to download certain things to us. Then once we got the concept of it, and it began to formulate within us, then it began to manifest outside of us. Because the truth is, you got to live it before you live it. That means before you ever see the manifestation of what it is that you believe, you got to live what you believe first. You got to believe it. And then what happens is when you when you live what you believe first, then you live it in your being, then before you know it, it's you're being it. And so it's just a beautiful, beautiful process, but it's not one that's not that's void of endurance, persistence, tenacity, wherewithal. You know, it's not void any of those things, but it does come to pass. So, you know, in essence, you know, just understanding that it's a process, and what it happens in the inside, you get this gnawing, you get this something just isn't right, it's got to be better or different, you know what I'm saying? And then all of a sudden you start moving toward that what you're feeling, and before you know it, you'll start being what you're feeling, and then you'll start doing what you're feeling. The doing comes after the being. If we try to put the cart before the horse, then you're going to be pushing the cart and the horse instead of the heart pulling, the horse pulling the cart. You'll be pushing the cart, and then you'll be pushing the horse too. But the horse is there to pull the cart for you. So learning how to be yourself, then we learn how to do those other things, like operate in the workplace, operate in the world. And so I'm very, very grateful that we are now the manifestors. We are the recipients of the manifestation of our being. Because you're going to manifest your own being. That's what we manifest. And so I'm very, very excited about that. We've had another phenomenal show. I'm just so, so grateful for my co-host and our journey and our lives. It is a beautiful thing, people, to partner with someone, somebody, or a couple of somebody. It's very difficult to get a group of people, you know, to where you can, unless you schedule some type of regular group where you guys meet weekly or something like that. But when you find someone or the universe position someone in your life that's going to walk out what you're feeling, it's a beautiful thing. And that's what we have in our relationship. We're not just co-hosts, get on the radio just to do a show. But we're here to be the show. We're here to be what we're saying. And so we are very grateful for all of our listeners. We're so grateful for all of you who continue to listen to our show, our rebroadcast. We love that. The replays, we love it, we love it, we love it. And we would love it even more if we can hear from you, if you can let us know what you think. Send us an email. We're all over social media. You know, I'm Ask the Coach on every place you can look. YouTube, my YouTube channel, my blog, all of that. And you have Shohan Lee. I know it's difficult to spell her name, but if you look at our radio show down in our tag, her name is there. And so you're able, or you can go to my Facebook page and you can tag from her, or you can go to empoweredas1.org. Or
the ebook people can download. You know, I just had the ebook finished up, put on our website.
Yes, check out the website. She has a new awesome meditation download that's going to help alleviate stress and anxiety in the workplace and in your life. So that's there. So just check out our website at empoweredas1.org. We appreciate you for tuning in. Thank you so much. You know we meet here in the air every Saturday afternoon at 1 p.m. Central Time and 2 p.m. Eastern Time. I am your host, Sharon Ask the Coach Parker, your motivational messenger. This is our dear sister, Shohan Lee, and we are so grateful for you. So we look forward to hearing you next week. Hit us up on Facebook or inbox us if you have a special topic, and we will be so glad to talk about that. So we love you so much, and we appreciate you more. Don't forget, you attract what you be. Remember, the law of being is being yourself.
And to be rich is to be spiritual. I like that.